So what's so distinctive about Paul's gospel, the gospel given to Paul? And it's important that you know what's so distinctive so you'll be able to trust which gospel is the true gospel. There's a lot of gospels, and that's what I want to talk about. I want you to go to Romans chapter 11. You know, this is going to be kind of like a paintbrush. We're not going to go into depth on it. But we're going to talk about what makes Paul's gospel distinct from all the rest of them. And it's interesting. Go to Romans chapter 11 once I find it myself. Verse 6. We get the highlights here. What? It's grace, not works. That's what his gospel is about. It's a free gift purchased at a great price. What was that price? It was the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. A little place called Golgotha meant a place of the skull. That's where he was crucified out there. So we know by his crucifixion that the ground is level at the cross, and God is no respecter of persons. But they didn't know that at the time. But what I want to show you is grace is where we're living in the dispensation of the grace of God. It's not works. Romans 11, 6. And if by grace, and it is, grace is unmerited favor, something you didn't deserve, something you don't deserve, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, okay? And if it be by grace, then it is no more of works. So, who can understand that? The majority of Christendom out here, and preachers and teachers and evangelists preaching all over the world can't understand that. Most so-called, and I'll use that word loosely, so-called Christian churches, we people call them Christian churches, actually believe in the salvation that Paul preaches. But, they add one little thing to it. That nullifies the gospel of the grace of God.
Period.
If you add anything to it, it's plus or minus nothing. You can't touch it. It's like the Ark of the Covenant. You better not touch it. You're going to die. And that's exactly what's going to happen here once you touch it. If you add or you take away, you're going to die because you're not going to be saved. It's just like the Ark of the Covenant because that was electrified. You touch that, you got electrocuted. Now, the thing of it is with this, it's by grace. But they add one little thing. It could be, like you said, water baptism. It could be confession, repenting of your sins, enduring to the end. Well, all of that's garbage. But it was real when Peter was preaching it. But it's not true now. It's so, I don't hardly understand it. Only the minds of those people that are lost were blinded by Satan is what it is. They can't see it. But we're going to get to that. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to go to verse 8. Grace, not works, is what we're looking at. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And I pray nobody in here that's saved is ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ, nor of me, that's Paul, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Now you're going to get that according to the power of God. Those afflictions of the gospel you're going to get by your family and friends and relatives. You're going to get afflicted. They're going to deny you and get you away and say, "Turn, don't even visit me anymore." It's just unreal. Now, verse 9, who hath saved us, God did, and called us with an holy calling. But here's the key, not according to our works. It's by grace, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It's not by works. I don't understand. There's so many. We're going to them. I don't understand why people just can't read this, believe it. You don't have to understand it, but grace is not hard to understand. It's called unmerited favor. It's undeserving favor that God foreknew through the foreknowledge of him that he foreknew that you would either accept or reject his son, Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just not a hard thing to understand when you've got somebody to explain it to you. Now, go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, we know that's Adam, judgment came upon all men. It didn't say some men, it said all men, to condemnation. We're all condemned. Even so, by the righteousness of one, that's God's righteousness, talking about Jesus Christ, the free gift. You remember Paul says, I preach the gospel freely. It's a free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Righteousness by Jesus Christ, and I'm going to put that there instead of one, the free gift came upon all men. I like that word all when it talks about my justification, because that included me. I like that. Now, by the faith of Christ, what we're talking about, what is so distinctive about the gospel that Paul preached? He began to preach for salvation the gospel of Christ, but we're not there. We're in the gospel of the grace of God right now. You can say either one, but it really is the gospel of the grace of God that we're saved under. Now, it's by faith of Christ, his suffering and his dying for you, filthy, me, filthy sinners, our sins. Go over to Galatians chapter 2. Go to verse 16. See, these verses we go into is so explicit. They can stand alone and tell you the truth. Verse 16, knowing, Paul writes, that a man is not justified, not made straight, not cleaned up, by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. He had faith that God the Father would raise him from the dead. It's the faith of Christ. But how hard is that? Knowing that a man, that's me, is not justified by the works of the law. Well, if that's the case, I don't want to do any of the law for salvation. But the law is good for you if you could live by the law for your everyday life. You'd be mortifying the deeds of the flesh. You wouldn't have all the problems that you have in this world. But we won't do that because we're carnal. It's sin that dwelleth in us that causes the problem. Now, how about going over to Philippians chapter 3? These verses are just so simple to understand. We haven't got into anything complicated and probably won't. Chapter 3, verse 9, Philippians. Paul talks about in verse 8, he says, he counts all those things but dung. That's a paraphrase. But in verse 9, and be found in him, in Jesus Christ, not having mine own righteousness, because Paul had all the righteousness that he could work for, and it was no good. Because if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of them all, in James chapter 2. Now, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but, there's that but, that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. It's the righteousness of God that's placed upon your account the moment you trust in the shed blood, which is the death, the burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day for your justification. You can't beat it with a stick. It's just so simple. Don't complicate it. Like Brother Moore told me one time, he said, don't recreate the wheel. If somebody's got something going good, like the scripture here, don't try to make it into something else. Use it. Preach it. Teach it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we know this is where the gospel of Christ is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 1 through 4. But we just want to read one verse right now. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. We're talking about by the faith of Christ and him dying for our sins. Paul says, for I delivered unto you. He's talking to these Corinthians. For I delivered unto you. I spoke it. I brought it to you now. First of all, that which I also received. He received it from the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said so in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Now, how? That Christ died for our sins. He didn't just say my sins. He's talking about I'm the first and I'm the pattern, but he died for all of us. We're all equal. God is no respecter of persons here now, according to the scriptures. So he died for our sins. Now, with that one statement there, when Christ was hung up on the cross, he died for our sins. That's true. But is it put to your account? No. No, no, no. Just because he hung up here and died for the sins of the world does not mean you're saved. You've got to trust in the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and resurrection, which is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you. Then it's applied to your account. There's a lot of people who want to preach that, yes, Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, and he died for your sins. But if you don't trust that, if you honestly don't trust that, then you're dead in your sins. The blood has not been applied. Remember in Exodus? The blood has to be applied. So, what happens is, this statement right here, it says, how that Christ died for our sins. And he did. But it's not your sins that's the problem. He did die for your sins. Now it becomes unbelief in what Jesus Christ did, what God did for you. God is your Savior. Did you know that? He sure is. And God is Jesus Christ manifest in the flesh. We know Jesus Christ is our Savior, but it's the righteousness of God that's placed upon our account. It sure is. Now, but all of our sins have been paid for. And that's that word again. I'm hung up on that word. I just love it. All. Romans chapter 5, guys. Verse 6. We done found out, if you read the book, that over in Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I mean, that's just a given. But now, in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, for when we, Paul's talking about him and his company that's with him, and the people there, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I'm an ungodly individual. That's what I am. Verse 8, but God, there's that but. And I'm going to add that up here. Or but now. I like those. But, in verse 8, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Knowing we were despicable, vile, from the creation of the world over here. This is before the creation. Before the creation of the world, he knew every sin that Joe would commit, everyone Don would commit. He knew when Jesus Christ was preached until Richard, he'd either trust him or reject him. He knew Bernice was going to do the same thing, and everyone in here, back over here. Nothing surprises God. Nothing surprises God. But God commendeth his love. He loved us. We love God. Why? Because he loved us first. We don't seek after God. We've all gone our own way. That's what the scripture says. Paul says that, and also that's what Isaiah says in 53. We've all gone our own way. We want to do our own thing. Worship what we want to worship. Do what we want to do. Enjoy the lust of the flesh. The carnality that we are. Now, something you can't do. There's something that Paul couldn't do. There's a lot of things Paul couldn't do. Paul couldn't pay for his own sins. The great apostle, the greatest apostle that has ever lived. And I say that lovingly because that's the dispensation that we're in. Now, those people back when Peter was walking around here before Paul did, they probably said the same thing. Peter's the greatest apostle. Well, they had to endure to the end. But in our case, I say Paul is the greatest apostle that's ever walked the face of the earth. And that's all I'm concerned about. I'm not concerned about salvation prior to Paul. It's nice to know. And we talk about it, we preach about it, but that's not the concern. But Paul could not pay for his own sins. And he was a chosen vessel of God himself. And he still couldn't pay for his own sins. He wrote 13 epistles out of this book here. He penned it. Holy Spirit wrote it. So if Paul couldn't save himself, do you think your low lives can? Uh-uh. We're not chosen vessels as Paul was. We've been called, but we weren't that chosen vessel to take the word out, the first and the pattern. We just weren't. Trust in Christ and not in ourselves. Go to Titus chapter 3. Verse 5. We're talking about what's so distinctive about the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, given to the apostle Paul. Verse 5. Paul wrote Titus and he said, not by works of righteousness. Well, my God, that don't take a lot of genius to figure out. Not by works of righteousness. The alternative is by works of righteousness, which you're going to find in Acts chapter 2, verse 35. Peter says, continue to work righteousness. This says, not by works of righteousness. Something's wrong in there. So we rightly divide the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation, away from all the other gospels, so we know exactly where we stand, what we need to understand. We need to trust what God did with His Son when He sent Him into the world. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus Christ was out there and those others were sitting there going to sleep, and he had told them to wait for Me. They went to sleep. He was over there, and He had drops of sweat that looked like blood, possibly was blood. I think it was blood. Myself, that began the shedding of the blood. If it be Thy will, Father, and this is a paraphrase, let this cup pass from Me. That was the humanity of the deity that He was. He was both man and God. It was the humanity that did not want to die. You know, the basic thing about human beings is, that's what the last resort is. We don't want to die. We'll do anything to keep from dying. Survival is the number one thing of a human being. Survival. You'll eat another human being if it come down between you and him and dying. You will. You might not think so. Those women in Jerusalem eat their babies. They didn't want to die. Proven fact. Now, it's a shame that's the way it was, but that's the way it really, really is. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, His grace, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, it's just something else. Go over to 1 Corinthians 15. I want to read the whole ball of wax. I remember when Brother Moore was up here preaching for all those years that I was in here. I started here in 2000. I'd sit up there for 2 solid hours when he was preaching, and I'd hear the gospel, and I'd hear the gospel the next message. And then when he got through at 12 o'clock, I didn't want him to get through. I wanted to hear it again. You know what I'm saying? Preach it again. But he was tired. It's time to quit. But I just can't get tired of hearing the good news of how my Savior died for me personally. And I know He died for Joe and all y'all, but it was a personal thing. And I was thinking about today, what am I going to be preaching over there? I don't know yet at the conference. But the fact of it is, it's going to have to do something with the cross. That's the whole reason of going. That's the gospel laid out here. The gospel was laid out there, not for me and you to see, but God put it out there, right there, in so-called AD 33. That's what it centers around, even though it wasn't revealed until the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 and 13 and so forth, that he started teaching and so forth. Back to 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, Paul says, I declare, I'm making a declaration unto you. I'm declaring something to you. It's exhortation. I'm speaking to you. Listen to me. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you what? The gospel. It's the good news of your salvation, which I preached unto you, you Corinthians, which also you have received. They received it. And wherein you stand, they trusted it, by which also you are saved. If, hallelujah, you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. That tells me if you just believe in the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ without trusting it, you can lose it. You've believed in vain. You're a lost believer. Man, that was something else. I was a lost believer. I never heard the term until Brother Boyd started preaching it. I don't know how many years. He'd probably been preaching 40 years at the time. But I never heard anybody talk about a lost believer. When did he start preaching that, Bernice?
I have no idea.
My God. And then I said, what's that? I believe this stuff right here. I must be one of them. Because I knew I hadn't trusted it. So you can believe. And this right here says, if you are, it says, by which you also, the gospel, you are saved. If, there's an if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. What he preached was the death, burial, and the resurrection, which is the shed blood of Jesus Christ, unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So I want you to think about that. We go over this all the time when we talk about what's the gospel. We talk about, well, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and let's read verses 1 through 4. Well, let's take a look about this and see if you've believed in vain. Because I had. I was lost. Doomed and damned, headed to hell. And I knew I was going to hell. That's the hard part. I just praise God that I did not die before I could get saved. Because I wanted to get saved. But see, when I stopped that state trooper, and I told him about it, Barnard, last night, I told the assembly about it here. Y'all probably heard it. But when I stopped that state trooper, I mean, he stopped me, and he didn't give me a ticket. And he said, you got any questions? Well, you know, and I did that honestly because my pattern, Brother Moore, did that. And so I knew whether I was going to get a ticket or if I wasn't going to get a ticket, I was going to ask the guy what he said. And I did, 11:30 one night, south of Florella, Okaloosa County deputies. And I said, have you got any questions? Because I knew I was going to get a ticket. Because I'd argued with him about speeding. I wasn't speeding. I said, I'm doomed and damned. I'm going to get a ticket, but I'm going to ask him. And he said, you got a question? Any other question? I said, yeah, I do. Are you saved? He said, no, I'm not. But I know how to be. Well, he just lied to me. A person that knows how to be saved will want to be saved. It's like, he didn't know he was lost. Because I guarantee you, anybody in this room tonight, we can go over to my swimming pool, and you can fall off in that swimming pool. And I can hold over here, and I've got the keys to your life. It's called a life raft or a flotation device. And you're out there screaming because you know you're going to die. But I've got it right here. This is the salvation that this guy said he knew about. But he said, I know about it, but I'm not saved. No, you don't know about it. Because if you knew about it, you know you're going to hell and you're going to be burning for a lifetime. Forever condemnation and separation from God Almighty. I've got this. Now, if you really do know how to be saved, you're going to tell me to throw it to me. Then you got it. It's just like trusting this. I got it. I can't lose it. I got that life raft. Joe says, throw it to me. He's got it. He clings on to it like we cling on to the cross. We cling on to the words of God. We cling on to that crucifixion. We praise God for crucifying his son. You know, I remember when I first heard Brother Ward talking about that, I said, wow, because I've never been taught how bad the crucifixion was. They always cleaned it up. It's Easter. It's Easter egg hunts. You don't have a bloody Jesus Christ hanging on a cross, bleeding to death, spears sticking in his side. That's nasty and vile and dirty. All you hear about is that nice Jesus that you're talking about, the bloodless Romans track. I thought, wow, he's talking about how vile this is. And here I'm thinking, golly, what am I supposed to, and then I was in the feelings. What am I supposed to feel about this? Because I knew he was telling me the truth because I was checking him out. And I said, golly, I'm confused here. You know, that's Jesus. That's deity. And I knew that. Even though I was lost, I knew Jesus Christ was deity. I just kept wondering. And then finally, I had to come to the conclusion, praise God for crucifying your son, letting him die out there. Because I had a guy, remember Brother Max, we had a service station there in Austin. Called Wiggins Service Center, brake shop, service station, full service. And I had this guy come in, he was a mercenary. He wound up being a friend of mine. I mean, his job was killing people. And he had gotten put in the Panamanian jail for trying to assassinate Noriega one time. And the federal government, after 2 years in prison, got him out. Well, I knew him real bad. Everybody in town was afraid of him, but me and him had a good rapport. He'd come by and I was witnessing to him all the time. He had no clue about Jesus Christ. He'd heard of him, but he told me something. He said, you know, if I'd have been there that day and had my M16, I'd have killed them Jews. I'd have stopped that crucifixion. I said, Tom, his name was Tom Blimey. No, you don't stop the crucifixion. You glory in the crucifixion. Without that, you don't have any salvation. You don't stop it. That's why the prince of this world, and why that mystery was there, they kept it in Corinthians. They kept that secret. God kept that secret, that mystery, from the prince of this world. If he hadn't, they would have stopped the crucifixion. They wouldn't have, Satan wouldn't have pushed those Jews over to continue to crucify him, and we'd be lost. So you got to glory in this death right here. I'm telling you, bask in it. Glory in it. Because it was you that should have died on the cross. He saved you. But only you have all this knowledge you want. But only if you trust in the shed blood, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day for your forgiveness, your pardon, your justification. That's the only way you're going to have eternal life. And if you hadn't done it, tonight's a good time to do it. Because you may not have tomorrow. I met with an individual yesterday, John and I. I showed him this individual up in Op. He's 80 years old now. He lived across the street from me. His name's Slim. He come out and he said, yeah, I just had an operation here. Had another one here. He had these stripped. And he said, I had a stroke on this side. I had a stroke on this side, and he's slim and trim. Now, I don't know if it was John or somebody else told me, that it might have been John, somebody had a stroke. Was that you telling me that?
Yeah, it was that.
How old was he?
85 at the
end. No, this one was in his 30s or 40s.
Oh, yeah. Don's younger brother.
How old was he when he had that?
24
years old, 4-ish or something like that. Had a stroke. Age ain't got nothing to do with it. Genes have got something to do with it. Now, yes, you get on up in age, things are going to start falling apart on you. But you don't wait till you get old to trust Jesus Christ. You trust him that the moment that you are convicted by the Holy Spirit, don't fight it for years like I did. I just fought it and fought it and fought it and finally succumbed to it. Thank God. Praise God that I did. I'm a saved sinner. And I'm going to leave you with that tonight.